So there's an interesting Rambam in Perish HaMishnayis in Chulin, Daf Kuf Amid Beis. He tells us a Yisod Gadol. He tells us a tremendous foundation in learning. And we'll discuss it on a couple of different mitzvahs, but he starts off with the mitzvah of Gid HaNasha, which we'll get to in Parashat Vayishlach. So there's an issur of eating from the Gid HaNasha. So there's a machlokes in the Mishnah in Chulin on does the prohibition of eating from the Gid HaNasha, does that only apply to a behemoth tahora, a kosher animal, or does it also apply to a behemoth tameya, a non-kosher animal? So that's a machlokes in the Mishnah between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda's shita is yes, Gid HaNasha applies even to a behemoth tameya, and the Chachamim disagree and say no. It only applies to a behemoth tahora. We're talking about a kosher animal you can eat from, and the Torah tells me, but the Gid HaNasha that you can't eat from this kosher animal, and it doesn't apply to a behemoth tameya because the whole animal is prohibited anyway, and we have a general rule ein iser. Chal al iser, that you don't have one prohibition fall on another one, so therefore there never was an iser of Gid HaNasha on a behemoth tameya. There's no point; it'd be redundant. Ein iser chal al iser. So that's the machlokes in the Mishnah between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. So Rabbi Yehuda says yes, it does apply, and the Chachamim say no. So Rabbi Yehuda tries to bring a proof for his own view by saying that. Why? When was Gid HaNasha given? Who was it given to? It was given to Bnei Yaakov. It was given to the sons of Yaakov before the Torah was given, as we find it in Parashas Vayishlach. So just like before Matan Torah, there was no such thing as kosher animals and no such thing as behemoth tahora, behemoth tameya. All behemoths were equal. So just like during the time of Bnei Yaakov, the Isser of Gid HaNasha applied to all animals. So too now, the Isser of Gid HaNasha applies to all animals as well. That's Rabbi Yehuda trying to bring a raya why he says it applies even to a behemoth tameya. So it sounds like a good taina. So what did the Chachamim say? The Chachamim answer, Mi Sinai Nesra, it was prohibited on Sinai, Ela Nechta Bimkomo. It was written on Sinai, it was prohibited on Sinai, but it was written in its place. What does that mean exactly? This very ambiguous line will be a major machlokes rishonim with tremendous nafkaminas. What does the Chachama mean? It was usher on Sinai, the nichtuvu memkoma. So Rashi writes in Chulin, what's pshat? He says, the Issa Gid HaNasha was first given only at Har Sinai. It was never given to Bnei Yaakov. Gid HaNasha was first introduced, as it says, Mi Sinai Nesra. It only became Usher on Sinai. The Isser of Gid HaNasha never existed with Bnei Yaakov. I know what you're thinking. So why write it, the whole history in Parashas Vayishlach, with the incident in Vayishlach? So that's what Rashi says. It was going to give me context, the history, the reason behind it. If someone asks you, what is Gid HaNasha all about, you go and you can tell them about the story in Parashas Vayishlach. But that has no ramifications. It was never given to them as an Isser. It was just as part of the storyline. But that's what it means. Mi Sinai Nesra and Nichta B'Komo is Rashi. So it was written here just to teach me the history. That's how Rashi learns. The Sefer HaChassidim says a little bit more similar, that really it was only given at Sinai, but he says Bnei Yaakov adopted it as a B'toras Eino Mitzuva V'yosa. In other words, we know we have Toras Moshe, which is mandatory, and then we have a Toras of the Avos. So Bnei Yaakov kept it, but it was more on their own. It was never told; they were never told not to keep it. Again, similar to Rashi in the sense that the Isser only began at Sinai. That's the way Rashi and the Sefer HaChassidim learn. However, the Rambam in Perush HaMishnayos, this is the Ikar Rambam, he says, pay attention. The Rambam's telling us to pay attention, so we better. Ikar Gadol, he writes, you better pay attention. We know what the Pshat is. We know Torah Siva Lanu Moshe. There's a fundamental difference between Moshe and all other prophets. The only person to have Torah was Moshe. All the other prophets, it's Nevuah, and it doesn't have the same status as Torah. And that's the difference between Torah versus Nevi'im and Ksuvim, that Torah is Shechina Midaberes Mitol Grono Shel Moshe. But you have by Nevi'im and Ksuvim, differences between that, but that was given in a chalom, in a dream, and they interpreted it in their way, different levels of Nevuah. So really, the Rambam says, no. B'nai Yaakov were given the Isser of Gid HaNasha. The Isser began when the story happened. The B'nai Yaakov were given Al-Kain, Nestor, Gid HaNasha. It did apply to the children of Yaakov. But if you're asking me, why do I observe Gid HaNasha today? That has nothing to do with B'nai Yaakov. That's Misinai Nesra Ela Nichtabim. Because Nichtabim Kamo is, it was written here because the Isser was given to Bnei Yaakov and it was Usser for them. But that's not relevant to me. The reason why I can't eat Gid HaNasha today is because, only because it was given at Sinai. That's a very important rule the Rambam gives us. And we'll have a couple of examples we'll give right now. That the only thing that's binding on me, anything the others did is nice, it's moral, ethical. And we'll see, we can learn different attitudes, but in terms of halacha, that we only learn from Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's what the Rambam writes. According to Rashi, the Isser was only given at Har Sinai. And it was just, the Rambam says, no, the Isser was given then. But why is it Usser to me? That's only because it was repeated later at Har Sinai. And that's why also, and that's the Machokas, so therefore the Avos we model after Avodas Hashem and not over Yisrael. That's Rabbi Yehud, and that's what the Chumim answered back, that Misinai Nesra, it was only Usher on me on Sinai, and hence it only applies to a Behemoth Tahora and not to a Behemoth. So that's the Machokas in the Mishnah Chulin, and the Rambam warns him here on Ikar Gadol, that Torah is only binding on us if it was given on Har Sinai. Anything given before is not necessarily binding. Comes along another example we'll have is Mila. In other words, why does a male 8 days old or his father, why are they commanded in the midst of Mila? Is it because it was given to Avram Avinu? No. Avram Avinu, we learn a lot of things from the history, what it was all about, the bris. But if you're asking me, why am I obligated in bris mila today? It's only because it was repeated later on in Parshas Tazria. We know it was given in Lech Lecha, the mitzvah mila with Avram. But if it wasn't repeated later on, it'd be a nice story. But I don't know if I'd be willing to go through the pain for a nice story. You know, that's a separate question. Does the baby actually feel it at that time or not? But either way, it wouldn't be, it maybe even be usher to do it because it'd be chavala. But they only have to do it because it was repeated in Tazria. In fact, that's where we learn out the source that Mila is Docha Shabbos from Tazria. In other words, why do we have to repeat twice? Because I can't learn it out from Lech Lecha, because maybe you could do a bris on the eighth day on Shabbos is because there was no Shabbos. I wasn't commanded in it. But now that there's an Isser of Shabbos, how do I know I can do it? So I need a special rule telling me now that they have a prohibition of Shabbos, so I have to know that I can do Mila and Shabbos. So the Gemara has over here in Shabbos, Kuf Lamed Hay has an interesting Gemara as well. It's going to be the same discussion. So it's actually talking about Rav Asi tells us a Chiddush Din of a baby born of a C-section. We all know the Torah tells us on the eighth day you have to do a Bris Mila. So it comes along Rav Asi and says, the Chiddush, you know what? But if you're a C-section baby, you don't. What is C-section? Why are we discriminating against C-section babies? So Rav Asi says, because if you look in Parshas Tazria, what is the Ra'isha Ki Tazria V'yalda Zacha V'tama Shiva Shamim? Talks about a woman giving birth, becoming Tameh. Then it says, Yom HaShmini, Yimo Besar Alaso. And on the day 8, you have to do the milah. So the Gemara, the Psukim, but the Gemara makes a juxtaposition between the Isser of Tumas Leda, the prohibition of Tumas Leda, and the mitzvah of milah on day 8. When is it day 8? When there's a natural childbirth, the woman becomes tummy. And biblically speaking, she becomes tummy only 7 days. We could throw that out the window today, but on a biblical level, and that's why it says, one of the reasons the Gemara says, why is milah on the 8th day? How does it look? Everyone's celebrating at the bris, and the husband and wife can't even hold hands. Therefore, we wait to day 8 when a woman is tahar, and therefore they can celebrate with everyone else. So we see that it's on the juxtaposition. So the comes on Rav Asi and says, that means, again, in theory, a C-section baby doesn't come, it comes out from a different part. It comes out from the womb and not from the makor. And therefore, a woman, in theory, is not tummy. There's no dam that makes, and therefore, you could do your bila on day 1. So that's the machokas in the Gemara. Do we say a C-section baby is day 1 or day 8? As the Lashon of Rav Asi is, or the Lashon of Gemara is, Nitna, you know, so the Gemara wants to, because Gemara wants to be Docha the Raya by saying, like, but what do you mean? By Avraham Avinu, it says in Parshas Lech Lecha, day 8, and it doesn't make a distinction, nothing to do with how a woman gives birth. And that's what's, again, that's the Lashon HaGemara. Nitna Torah Minischad Shehalacha. The Torah was given Har Sinai, and then Minischad Shehalacha. So that's what, again, like the Rama, is a fundamental change between the mitzvah. It's true, the mitzvah given to Avram, there was no difference, but that's not why I'm keeping Bris Mila. I'm keeping Bris Mila because it was repeated Har Sinai. And therefore, that's dependent on Tumas Leda. So actually, the Baal Amor, it's a Machokas in the Gemara, and in Shulchan Aruch, the Baal Amor quotes it as a Sveika Dedina. It's a suffix in Halacha when a C-section baby has a Mila. So one opinion is day 1. The other opinion is day 8. So what do you mean? So what do we do with the Sveika Dedina? So what we do is, when in doubt, do day 8. Because it's a win-win. Because if it's really day 8 and you do it day 1, it's a Mila Kodem Zmana, which isn't good. It's a Mila before its proper time, and it's not a good Mila. So if it's day 1, okay, so you didn't do it Bizmana, but at least you did it. So it's a Sveika Dedina, we don't know. So if we do it on day 8, we can't lose. That's our meaning. That's why most people don't know there's a difference, because a C-section maybe you do on day 8. The only time they might pick up on it, if it's a Shabbos bris, or I should say, it's not a Shabbos bris. So the halacha is, if a C-section baby is born on Shabbos, there is no bris the following Shabbos. We wait until Sunday. Why? Why don't we have a bris on Shabbos? I thought we go with day 8. No, that's what the Baal Amor and others explain. No, it's a Sveika Dedina. So really, we don't know. We only do a day 8 bris on a Mila Bizmana. What about a Ben Ashmasha's baby? So that's a Suffolk Mila Bizmana. We don't know if they were born on Friday or Saturday, or for that matter, probably on the other way around also. Saturday or Sunday, Ben Ashmasha's. So we do it, we never do it on Shabbos, because that's a suffix milah bizman is not docha Shabbos. So since we don't know when a C-section baby's bris is, day 1 or day 8, therefore we can't do it on Shabbos, because it's not docha Shabbos. So that's the Gemara. So we see that, again, that we see a fundamental change, because we repeated Har Sinai, so then it affects, you know, before there was no distinction, C-section baby or not. But now that Nitna Torah and Nischad Shehalacha, so therefore we see you don't even do a bris on Shabbos. We'll get into it another time, but there's a big shiloh b'zman hazeh, so what about, the Gemara talks about C-section babies. The Achronim talk about, the contemporary post-gim, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and others, about what about today with artificial insemination or host mothers, all these types of new types of procreation. What does that does that affect the meal of Shabbos or not? Because that's a big chiddush. Because number one is, I understand C-section baby, the birth is happening in a different way. But in artificial insemination, host mothers, the birth is natural. It's the conception that was different. That's the whole Gemara in Chagiga about that someone got pregnant in a bathhouse. So over there, the Gemara talks about Ma'is and Nisim. So there's 2 days in Rabbeinu Chananel about what's the pshat over there in terms of that perhaps it's not considered, if there's no Ma'is Abia, perhaps it's not considered a natural birth. And then he quotes about not doing a Mila B'Shabbos. So usually we don't pass in the Rabbi Chananel, but Rav Shlomo Zalman Orabach heard Rav Shechter, Rabbi Willig, the raw machmer, not to do any of these type of new, to do a brisa. Rav Adi Yosef is big. It happened actually when I told them, it happened here. You know, most people don't know about it. So actually, you know, somebody was speaking to me about it, and I don't know how it came up, and I told you, you can't, you know, I said, you can't, I said, well, I didn't say you can't, but I said, you know, Rav Shechter, Rav Willig, they all say not to. So actually, so that we didn't do it on Shabbos. Everyone was wondering why not. So they want to give a share on it that Shabbos, because then they might give away this. Anyway, you know, but in term, but we'll see. We go into more details on that. But that's what the Gemara says. Nasna Torah v'nischadcha halacha, and therefore, again, do we see? I don't care the fact. It's true there was no distinction with Avraham Avinu, but now that the Torah is given, Isha Kizir Yalda Zacha changes the halacha. Same thing with Gidha Nasha. I'm doing it because. Misinai, so then we already had kosher and non-kosher, so hence the issue of Gidha Nasha only applies to a behemoth tahora. So we see, that we don't learn mitzvahs kodama and Torah. However, is that so simple? Because we find many times in the Gemara, I'll give you some examples to back it up, that we are learning out from kodama and Torah. So first, I'll give you some examples, then we'll try to reconcile. So there's a Gemara in Pesachim Daf Daled. Vayashkem Avram Baboker. Avram got up in the morning for Akedah Yitzchak. He got up early, and what do we learn out of Halacha's reason Magdim in Lemitzvus? We learned that from Avram Avinu, and clearly that's Kodem and Torah. The Gemara in Pesachim quotes it as a source of reason Magdim in Lemitzvus, or the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Membeis Amin Aleph. The Gemara quotes about the din of havchana. If you're separating, you're getting a divorce, you're separating from your spouse, the woman has to wait 3 months to remarry because you want to know who the father is. You want to know if it's on the first, you know, the last husband or the new one. And the Gemara actually quotes a pasuk in the end of Vayera, Lezaracha Acharecha, I forget the exact quote, but they quote from Parashas Vayera. Again, another, they learn out havchana. They quote the source from Pasuk in Vayera. And also we have the Yerushalmi that learns out the halacha. How do you know Ein Ma'arvin Simcha v'Simcha? You can't mix up different simchas. And we learn out, you don't have, you know, we don't get married on Yantiv. We learn out from Malei Shua Zos, the whole incident with Leah, with Yaakov marrying two wives, that you have to give exclusive simcha to each of the wives. So we see, those are three things we are learning Kodama and Torah. Just to throw in one more that we don't learn, back to that fits in with Milan Gidha Nasha, that's the Lach of Avelis. They quote the Pasuk, I think, by Yaakov, by Yazav, Oshiv, Ajamim. And they quote the Pasuk, you know, in Bayechi, that they did Shiva. So we, you know, we only assume Shiva's Drabbanan anyway. So that's the question. How come, when it comes to Avelis, Mila, Gidha Nasha, the Gemara says we can't learn Kodama and Torah. We have to look to Sinai to get the answer. Yet we find by Zrizim, Akdim, and Lemitzvahs, by Havchana, by Eima, Arvin, Simcha, Besimcha, that it's not that way. So, and this is, and we'll see, I'll give you the Netziv in a second, but all this is relevant to Bikor Cholim Hachnasis Archim as well, because the Gemara in Sota quotes the different sources for the Gemara in Sota on Daf Yudalid quotes from Rabbi Chama bar Rav Chanina. They quote the pasuk Achareyash. Well, they quote the psukim from Bereishis. You can look up the Gemara over there. We'll go through the details. Not for now, but so to Daf Yudalid, they quote a pasuk in Bereishis as a source for Bikar Cholim and Nicham Aveilim. So it's relevant to Nicham Aveilim and Bikar Cholim that we have the sources. Gemara Sota, Bikar Cholim, we have Nicham Aveilim over there also. So what's the distinction? How come, we see Bikar Cholim and Achnasas Arachim, we also learn Kodama and Torah? So that's what the Netziv explains in the Shiltis on Vayechi. He wants to know, why should mitzvahs be limited to Acham Matan Torah? Why can't I learn out things before Matan Torah? If something was given in the Torah before Matan Torah, why can't I learn out Kodem Matan Torah? What's the issue? So the Tzim says it depends what. So Zrizim Magdim in LeMitzvahs, we learn one should be passionate, one should be zealous, one should be Zahir to do a mitzvah. That's not important now, I'm not going to learn it. So of course, something like that applies all the time. An attitude from the avos, we can learn how to appreciate mitzvahs, how to appreciate things. That is no problem learning Kodem Matan Torah. Or Avchana, we want to keep a precise lineage. We want to know who's the father, who's the mother, who's the kid. So those things are logic. You don't need Matan Torah to make those make sense. Or someone wants to focus a simcha. Of course, it shouldn't be all over the place. You should give each person independent, rejoice in each one's independent simcha. So the Ziv writes all those things that the Gemara learns out from Sefer and Bereishis. Those are sichlis. These are the logical that I could figure out on my own. They all make sense, and there's no reason to machalik before Matan Torah and after Matan Torah. But by let's say Avelis, you could argue, well, Yaakov was a gadol hador. Yaakov was famous. Maybe really for the average person, there is no concept of Avelis, but it's only by the gedolim. And therefore, I have to tell me that only applies to Yaakov Avinu, but it applies to the regular people as well. And therefore, not only to the, and that's the same thing by Mila. Like Mila would know, Mila is a more technical hagdara. In fact, the mitzvah of Mila given to Avraham was different than the one given to us. Avraham was only commanded a Mila. We have Mila, Priya, Mitzitza, Bepeh. So our mitzvah milah is different, so we're not going to learn it now. We see it wasn't the same mitzvah, and get a nasha as well. So that's what the Netziv writes. The Netziv writes that basically there's nothing fundamental that you can't learn out from Kodem Matan Torah. There's no gzeiras hakasuv, you can't learn out. But if it's a common sense, logical thing, those are good things. We want to continue learning from the avos, even Acham Matan Torah, but more technical hagdaras, more technical mitzvahs, mila, gidanash, avelis, that we have to look to, if we're looking for a source of a mitzvah, then we have to look to after Matan Torah. And in fact, this type of thing we find is a famous Chazon Ish on this, and among others, he introduces the concept of, there's something called Ratzon Hashem, Ratzon HaTorah. In other words, the Gemara, many times, let's say the Gemara Bamatziah, Daf Lama Beis writes, the Isser of Sar Bali Chayim is Da'araisa, is biblical. But the Gemara doesn't give any explicit source. In fact, Rav Asher Weiss in his, I think the Sefer on Chumash, he even goes through 11 possible different sources of how do we know Sar Bali, the Minchas Asher. How do we know Sar Bali Chayim is Daraisa? So they quote, some quote it could be from Prika, from the luck of loading and unloading your animal. Others quote the incident with Bilam Ben Baor, that he was hitting the donkey. Others say from muzzling the ox, so etc. So what's the point that we see from here? We see from all these incidents concern for the well-being of the animal, and there's many other sources. So we see, even though there might not be, the fact, not everything has to be labeled a mitzvah's ase Well, not everything has to be labeled a lav to be considered a deraisa. There's some general rubrics of a deraisa, what you call the ratan haTorah. Certain things you could glean from seichel. What's the ratan Hashem? Hashem, you know, whether it's ratan Hashem, ratan chacham. A lot of times, people know it's not the right thing to do, but show me where it says I can do it. There's a concept of doing the ratan. The Chazon Ish develops it by kivud avim, in terms of he says in the concept. You know, the Gemara goes through specific, there's kibud, there's yira, giving them water, not sitting in the seat. But how do I know the general respect? So I guess, that's what he says, it's a ratzon haTorah. You see from the whole Torah how important kibud av ha'em is. So obviously, it's not just some, you know, minhag. You know, it still could be biblical, even though it's not necessarily an explicit source. That's what the Radvaz says as well, this concept. It doesn't have to be a specific assay or a los assay, you could glean it out from the ratzon haTorah. And in fact, that's why, that's what I think, I don't know if Rav Kook says it in this context, but he refers to Torah's Moshe. Moshe is the obligations. That's the technical hagdoras we have to do. And then there's the Torah's of the Avos, of Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, where we learn, how to become a mensch. We learn out different halachas from there. Of Zrizim, Akdim, and Lemitzvahs, Havchana, all those things. So they point out that as there's a broad mitzvah, V'yahavta l'reyecha kamocha. In general, we have a broad mitzvah, ben adam l'chaveiro, of loving, you have to treat your neighbor like you treat yourself. And as well, And the Gemara gleans out from, so there's different sources. There's the Gemara in Sota that says, Acharei Hashem Teilechu. That's what we learn out. We have to be like God. It's like God visits the sick. We visit the sick. Malbish Arumim, etc. That's the Gemara in Sota, Dav Yudalid. And then the Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Lamed Gimel, talks about Zek Keli Vanveo. We know it's in the midst, but the Gemara also learns out we have to emulate God. So the Gemara has sources in Shabbos, Kuf Lamed Gimel, and Sota, Dav Yudalit. So Rav Asher White says, why do I need two sources to teach me the same thing? If you're telling me there's a general source of doing mitzvahs, B'edad HaMachaveiro and that, so why do I need the Gemara in Sota and the Gemara in Shabbos? That's what he points out, that there's two different things, that the Shabbos, the Gemara in Shabbos, is the difference. Some people have a generous heart, they mean well, but in practice they never express it properly. But they have the right feeling. Other people, they might do the right thing in practice, but they're lacking the attitude, the proper hashkafa, how to do it. To the pasuk in the Gemara in Shabbos, that's telling us the general attitude you have to have. You have to do it with a generous heart. And the Gemara in Sota, that's telling me the other one, it's result-oriented. That makes sure that that the deed gets done. And that's why they point out, in terms of, where, in other words, what's one of the sources of Bikar Cholim? So it's this week's Parsha. Parsha's Vayera. It says, Vayera Elav Hashem Be'elonei Mamre. And God appears to Avram Be'elonei Mamre. So it's very strange. Usually God appears to a Navi and then tells the Navi what the message is. Here it's Vayera Hashem on Mamre, and then next thing you know, Hine Shosha Nashem Nitzavim, the three people. So what's going on here? So Rashi quotes in the Gemara of Metzia, what did Avram come? Levaker es Achola. Avram came to do Bikur Cholim. So he points out that why. So, and that's what we learn out, that from Acharei Hashem Teilechu, we have to imitate God. This is how God does Bikur Cholim, we do Bikur Cholim. So there's certain mitzvahs, it's interesting to note, that certain mitzvahs, like we know when it comes to the mitzvahs HaTorah, the Torah instructs us how to keep Shabbos, how to keep kosher, etc. However, so why didn't when it come to Bikur Cholim, Haknasis Arkham, why didn't the Torah say, this is the way you do it? Instead, what do we find? We find the stories with Avram Avinu and the other part of the Avos. And that's a tremendous yisod in life, in chinuch and in everything, is When it comes to mitzvahs b'adam v'makom, so then, you know, instruction, Shabbos, kashrus, that could work. But when you want to give over chesed, you want to give over bikur cholim, you want to give over hachnasas archim, talk is cheap. You have to demonstrate. It's what the kids are going to pick up at home. It's what they see you doing. And therefore, God didn't go ahead and tell Avram, this is what you got to do. He engaged Avram. He himself did bikur cholim. Avram himself went ahead and did hachnasas archim. And we see that's when it comes to midos, that has to be done through actions. It's not enough just to do it through dibur alone. And that's why the Torah, when it comes to these type of things, the Torah tells us, this goes into detail, you know, in the stories instead of just giving us the bottom line. And in fact, the Gemara, the Darim, on Daf Lamed Tes, on Daf Mem, as Maisa B'Talmid Echa Mitalmida Rabbi Akiva, that Rabbi Akiva apparently took attendance in Shir, and he noticed he had 24,000 students, he had thousands of students. To him to notice one of them, he noticed one of my students I'm missing. So he went back to the dorm and he saw the guy was sick. He said, no wonder, the place was a mess, everything all over the place. So he made, whether he did a different version, whether he cleaned the floor or not, or got someone else to do it, he opened the windows, he got them to take a shower, clean clothes, and basically I think the student says, you saved my life. And from here we learn out that one who doesn't do bikur cholim is ke'ilu shofech damim, that sometimes that could be, you never know, you go and visit that person, that's the thing that's keeping the person alive, giving him chizuk until they get better. But either way, we see from Rabbi Akiva the incident. So in terms of, we'll get into the details more as well, but the Gemara, the Ramban in Torah Sa'adam warns out the three basic things of Bikar Cholim, to fulfill your mitzvah Bikar Cholim. You have to take care of the cholim's physical needs in terms of making sure that everything, you know, could I get you anything? I say, when they used to walk in with one of the gedolim, like I think it was Rav Ruderman, he used to always ask the cholim, what can I do for you? Could I move you? Like today we can't do much because the nurses and doctors, but things you can, you know, you want me to move the pillow? Should I use the electric bed? You know, could I get you something? You have to take care of the physical needs as well as the emotional needs as well. And the Ramban adds, not only that, but part of the chi of a bikur cholim is you have to be mespalel. You have to pray for the chola. And therefore, even the nurses and doctors who aren't praying for the chola, they're not in complete fulfillment of bikur cholim. That's what the Ramban writes. It's important because why? Because we have to do, because bikur cholim means we have to do the maximum possible. And we know ultimately it's in God's hand. So by us praying, we could do more. So that's one. Those are the three things that one does bikur cholim. We see Rabbi Akiva himself demonstrated to his students. He didn't just talk about it. He went into the dormitory and he went in and took care of them. Because mahu afata, if God does these things, I'm going to take these things as well. And that's what they point out. That we learn when it comes to bikur cholim, hachnasas archim, all these type of things, we have to focus not only on the instruction, which is important, but on the actual doing and seeing that. And as well, the Gemara over there, the Gemara of Metzia, based on the Pasuk, it says, why was God visiting Avraham? Yom Shlishi Lumilaso. It was the third day of the circumcision. And therefore, Bar Avram, the title is, why now? Why didn't he come day one, day two? That's another shot we'll get into the Maral. The Gerarya writes that perhaps, you know, he says, the chi of a bikur cholim is only when you're a cholim mesukan. Because we learn out from here, the Gemara, the incident by Yishrach, when by Shosh Hashem, that on the third day, Lamila is the most severe day. In fact, the Ram quotes two deists, whether it's a Dafka Yom Shlishi, which is the most dangerous, painful, or lav dafka yom shlishi, it's one and two also. It's odd, it's including all. And my nafkamina, whether it's one, two, and three or not. So there's an interesting discussion among the achronim on. So we all know there's halacha mila b'shabbos. There's halacha that mila is docha shabbos. But only a mila b'zmana is docha shabbos. But a mila shalom b'zmana we don't do on shabbos. That's common knowledge. What's not so common knowledge, and we'll see if it is common knowledge, but what about a mila shalom b'zmana? So when could you, so could I do it any day except Shabbos? So some achronim bring down that a mila shalom b'zmana you can't do on Thursday and Friday. In fact, I think that could be the minhag among the Svardim. I think the minhag Ashkenaz, I think we just go with the first possible scenario. The No Rabbi Yehuda was very makbid. In other words, he had a tshuva, you know, where when people had, so one of the things that you did on Erev Pesach, you have a siyum. So many, so there are those people who, once they had a mila shalom b'zmana, they're looking, once we're waiting, they might as well wait to, you know, I don't think it was 4 months, but let's say it was near Pesach, let's wait until Sunday. Or some people, let's do it on Sunday, more people could come. So those of you who used to scream, Chai v'kayim, a mila shalom b'zmana, you got to do it immediately. The first possible moment you have to do it. In fact, that's an interesting Dvar Avram. That let's say you have two babies, a mila b'zmana and a mila shalom b'zmana. Which one do you do first? You know, it's a pasha, maybe one would say, a mila b'zmana, you know, maybe it's tadir. The Dvar Avram writes, you do the mila shalom b'zmana, because a mila shalom b'zmana has to be done every second count, because it can be chayiv kares. Yom Shmini, the halacha, you have the whole 8 day to do it. We did Zriza Makdim and Lamitzvah. So he thought you should do the mila shalom b'zmana first. So he points out that, so therefore some achronim, Rav Moshe writes, the Lubav B'tzur Rebbe, that you should not, that, not by, I think by mila shalom b'zmana, I think the minhag is we do it because it's a mila, and you don't want to play around with kares. But, let's say a person could have elective surgery. Again, if we're talking about a surgery or it's necessary, you could even do it on Shabbos if it's Sakanas Nafashas. And in Canada, it's a big problem. A lot of times you don't have a say, and if you don't get a surgery done now, it's because you have to wait 6 months. So obviously I'm not talking about cases like that. But it's an elective surgery. Let's say you could choose the beginning of the week or the end of the week. So the some postum say it's best that you should do it at the beginning of the week. You shouldn't do an elective surgery on Thursday or Friday. Clearly not Shabbos. Because why? Because it's halacha. We assume within the first 3 days, that's the, it's lav dafka mila of any type of surgery. And therefore, either we're concerned about dichla yisr, that if you might, you don't want to put yourself in a situation where you have to be machal o Shabbos, you might be permitted to. We don't want you to put in a situation where you have to be machal o Shabbos. And that's why they say don't do it. In fact, there's a famous machlokas, the Ramban and Baal HaMor. The Ramban and Baal HaMor write that, let's say the case of the water, that is a discussion in the Rishonim. What about, let's say, Amir Lenachri Famila, I'm doing a malacha daraisa, could you have a guy, you know, doing water for you, you know, let's say before the mila. The case is like this. Let's say you had a bucket of hot water. The Gemara says you have to be machit to the sakatan. That we'll have to discuss that message shortly, but so the Ramban and Baal HaMor say that let's say you're going to do a bris mila. You have the commissioner says you have to wash the katan before and after for health issues. So the Gemara says, not the Gemara, so that's the Ramban and Baal HaMor. So what happens? So everyone agrees if you did the bris mila and the lousy kids ran knocked over the bucket of water. But of course, with the kids in Sakana, so of course you go ahead and do it. Nothing to talk about. What happens if the kids knocked over the water before the Shabbos day 8, to meal of his mana, but there's no water? So you know that you're going to know that after the bris is over, you're going to have to heat up hot water. So you go ahead and do the bris or not? In other words, meal is doch, what about the makshiri meal? You know, we don't assume makshiri meal are it, but here, so this is the machlokes, the Ramban and the Baal HaMor. The Ramban writes, Ein locha mitzvah elo l'shaitza. The mitzvah you have to do right away. The Torah says, be on the eighth day, don't make cheshbonos. It's not your problem. Go ahead and do the meal of bizmana. And the Baal HaMor says, no. You got to be roas hanola. You need cheshbonos. You know, you don't have to make cheshbonos. What's going to be 3 years from now? What's going to be next week? But if you know that by doing the bris milah, you're going to have to heat up our water, that's the seichel. He says, so we don't put ourselves in a situation where I have to be machal Shabbos, dichoy yisurim, and hence he says, wait until Sunday. That's the mach, so that's the discussion Ramban Baal HaMor. I think we pass like the Baal HaMor. We don't have that situation, but we pass like the Baal HaMor, you wait until Sunday. But what again, so that's, so we see you don't put yourself in a situation where, so that's the same thing by elective surgery. You don't put yourself in a situation where it might lead to Chilul Shabbos. So interesting. So what's Pshat in the Baal HaMor? Like, what's the Bishlam according to the Ramban? There's a mitzvah. Mitzvah Mila, and in Stokah Shabbos. Not only that Stokah, but now the kids in Sakana, so now it's Mutzah. So according to the Ramban, it's no problem. But according to the Baal HaMor, what's the problem? Like, the Baal HaMor is moda that if you did the milah, it's good. And once you did the milah, you're allowed to heat up the hot water. You know, don't let the kid die, sorry. So what exactly is the problem according to the Baal HaMor? What's the isser? What's the problem? Why is the Baal HaMor, what does it mean? You might put yourself in a situation. Like, what isser is this? So, think of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. He writes, and we're only talking about a din d'rabbanan. It's only a din d'rabbanan that you can't do it. The Ramban's only, the Baal HaMor is only talking about Rabbina. And I think they quote the Ramban that there's an assay of Shabbaton. It's a d'raisa, but it's an assay. You're not going to be able to enjoy the Shabbos anymore because it'll be bit to learning Shabbos because of that. However, perhaps we could say along the lines of what we were saying that there's another machlokes in the beginning of Pesachim, well, not in the Gemara, because it's the Nodi of Yehuda and the Minchas Chinuch. The Gemara is talking about Karban Pesach, and we know if you derech rechoka, if you're a certain distance away, you putter from Karban Pesach, right? Mm-hmm. So the question is, what happens to someone who bedavka puts himself derech rechoka? You know, so the luck is, if you're there, what can you do? Well, you know what? I make a run for it. I want to get by whatever the zman is. Chatzos, halos. I make a running jump to get on the side and I'm putter. So is that okay? Like, what's the story with that? So you have two extreme views. You have the view of the Nodib Yehuda, and you have the view of the Slach. The Nodib says no Isser at all. Right now you're in a state of exemption. Who cares? I don't care how you got there. No problem at all. And the Minchas Chinuch writes, Yemavatel a mitzvah asay of karban. It's both sides seems to be extreme. Like, what do you mean? I'm not mavatel a mitzvah asay, I'm exempt. And according to Nohid, there's no Isser at all. Like, so perhaps that's what we, so like Rav Asher White said by Sar Bar Lechayim, and the Chazanish said by Kibra Aveim, there's something called Ratzon HaTorah, that common sense seichel. It's obviously, it's God doesn't want us to put ourselves in a situation. We glean from other halachas the importance of Shabbos, the importance of owning Shabbos, and therefore the Baal HaMor is saying is it could even be a deraisa. You don't put yourself in a situation where God doesn't want it to happen, where you're going to end up not being able to keep the Shabbos. You're going to have to be in bed. You know, whether someone goes in for root canal again, if you could, you know, again depends how bad you know. Depends how bad it is, and if it can wait or not. But I'm saying, assuming it can wait and you can do it in the beginning of the week, Because I know if you have a surgery on a Thursday or Friday, it's going to affect your Shabbos. So we could glean from other things that this issue of Dichoy Yisurim is part of, it could be under the general rubric, like the Chazon Ish said about, that we could figure out from different halakhas, we could figure out the importance of to treat animals, the importance of Bikur Cholim, the importance of Adonai. We could glean from different stories in the Torah what's Ratzon Hashem. Maybe that's the issue over there with what the Baal HaMor is getting at. But that's what we see. So when it comes to Bikur Cholim, Hachnasus Archim, the works, it's all about not just instruction, but we see the Torah goes into great detail. We even learned from Kodama and Torah, is Rizim Akdim and Lamitzvahs. That's what it's all about. So let's summarize. So we started off with the Yisod Gadol in Perish HaMishnayis and Chuan and Dav Kof HaMabez, the Machokas in the Mishnah between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, whether the Isser of Gid HaNashi applies to Behemoth Tamea or only up to Behemoth Tahora. So Rabbi Yehuda says both, the Chachamim say no, only a Behemoth Tahora. Rabbi Yehuda says, you know, I'll prove it to you because Gid HaNashi was given to Bnei Yaakov and there was no Behemoth Tahora, Behemoth Tameima then. There was no distinction. So, what do we answer? So we say, no, Nesra, Misinai Nesra, V'nichta B'mkomo. So we have a major machlokes, Rashi and the Rambam, and about what does that mean. So Rashi learns it means that the Issa was never given to Bnei Yaakov. It was only given on Sinai. It was just written down to learn the ethics behind it, learn the attitude. The Rambam says, no way. It's a fundamental shift. We only do mitzvahs that were given to us in Har Sinai. It was given to the Bnei Yaakov, but that's nothing to do with me. I only do the mitzvah because it was given on Sinai, and hence it only applies to a behemoth Torah. I don't need an issa gid hanash on a behemoth tamei. I can't eat it anyway. And that's the yisod of Rav Asi in the Gemara in Shabbos, nitna Torah b'nischad shalacha, a C-section baby, because now parshas Tazria, the connection between Ishar ki Tazria v'yalda zacha. Then we see as well Avelis, v'yasu Yaakov avel shivashamim, that we learn out from there is the source of, it's not a real source, according to Yushalmi, we paskin, Avelis is only Durabanan anyway, but according to the Oshitas that hold Shivas Daraisa, then this is a question. According to us, it doesn't make a difference. We don't claim it's Daraisa anyway. So we see, we don't learn from Kodaman Torah, the Rambam's Yisod. Aye, but what about Zrizim Magdim and Lemitzvahs, Havchana, Eima Arvin Simcha Besimcha, Hachdosis Archim? So we don't find any explicit pasuk. Why doesn't God say, do Hachnosis Archim, do Bikur Cholim, do Nicham Avelim? What it's under the big rubric of, as the Rambam writes, under the Haftarecha Kamocha, but the mitzvah Bikur Cholim itself is only Midivrei Sofrim. So what does the Rambam mean, Midivrei Sofrim? It's Ratzon HaTorah, that you're not going to say Bikur Cholim is not the Raisa, but it's not something that's given directly. It's under the, like Sar Balei Chayim, it's under something that even though it's not explicit, it still gets a kiyum deraisa. That's what the Gemara in Sota and Shabbos, we go into different people. There's two aspects of it we'll get into. One is you have to have the right attitude, and one is, you know, it's result oriented. And therefore, we can learn out Kodama and Torah, the model of the Avos, but in terms of actual Torah and mitzvahs, that we have to wait to Har Sinai for. And that's what they explained over here. And that was the whole issue as well, why we learn out why the Torah doesn't go into details with Hachnosis Archim Bikur Cholim. But the Torah just tells us the stories and we learn out because that's the connection with Ratzon HaTorah. And that's why we saw also the Yom Shlishi Lom Shlishi Lemilasa also affect regarding, we learn out from the mitzvah of Bila, and therefore we went into the issue of elective surgery, whether you could do it on Thursday and Friday, and that affects also in terms of, because it causes a dichay yisur on Shabbos, and that's the whole machlokes Ramban Baal HaMor if the water spills, and that seems to be the extreme machlokes, the Oda Bihuda and the Minchas Chinuch, maybe it's somewhere in between. that the reason why it's prohibited isn't, there's no pasuk per se, but things that we know that are important in the Torah, so things we have to glean on our own, you know, through common sense and seichel.